This is a Fox News alert. I'm Tom Graham. Donald Trump's supporters sounding increasingly optimistic. Cheering election results so far. The magic number, 270 electoral votes. Fox News projecting Trump has 254 to Hillary Clinton's 209. Fox's Grinnell Scott joins us live from an optimistic Trump headquarters in New York.
Tom, on this election night, a lot of nail-biting still going on here at the Hilton Midtown. Donald Trump keeps piling up states, and with the recent additions of Wisconsin and Iowa and Georgia to the win column, it has buoyed Trump supporters into believing that this can actually happen tonight. People in the Hilton ballroom are showing their superstitious nature. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to say anything that might jinx their desired outcome. There are still electoral vote decisions to be made tonight, but from the looks on people's faces here, people are ready to explode in celebration, Tom.
Grinnell, just down the street, a more sobering atmosphere. Fox's Tanya J. Powers joins us live at Clinton headquarters.
Yeah, well, the men here at Hillary Clinton's headquarters have felt somewhat. Supporters are standing up and kind of feeling all right, but they're hoping the candidate can turn things around. Some of them were concerned. They're watching large TV screens from results. They're intermittently chanting Hillary, Hillary, and booing with the coverage mentioned Donald Trump. Earlier this evening, Clinton tweeted her thanks to her team and said, quote, whatever happens tonight, thank you for everything, Tom.
Tanya, Republican House Speaker Paul Ryan hanging on to his seat in Wisconsin, keeping his fingers crossed for a Trump win at the top of the ticket.
This could be a really good night for America. This could be a good night for us.
Meantime, Democrats unable to pick up enough House seats to pose a serious challenge to GOP control of the lower chamber. Overnight stock futures trending off. Dow futures, what, 600? You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced. Democrats picking up a seat in the Senate. Illinois Congresswoman Tammy Duckworth defeating incumbent Mark Kirk, suggesting the nation needs to be more inclusive, but saying we do face economic challenges ahead.
With the circus that has been the 2016 election coming to an end, these challenges will still remain.
Elsewhere in Senate races, Republican Marco Rubio keeping his seat in Florida.
The days and weeks to come, I hope that we as a people here in Florida, I hope we will set the example in this great state. That while we can disagree on issues, we cannot share a country where people hate each other because of their political affiliations.
Other GOP Senate victories. Fox News projecting North Carolina's Richard Burr will keep his seat. Ohio's Rob Portman and Wisconsin's Ron Johnson also winning elections. The GOP holding the Senate majority by a slim margin going into election night with 54 seats. Two polling stations closed in Southern California after a deadly shooting.
Officers in Azusa responded to a shots fired call and came across several injured people. When they tried to tend to them, someone opened fire on the cops. Other officers had to respond to help get those officers out of the way. Azusa Police Chief Steve Hunt says one person was killed. Two others were taken to hospitals with injuries. No officers were hurt. He said there was one person at the scene lying in the doorway of a house. They didn't immediately know if that person was a suspect or victim.
Right now, for sure, we have one female suspect that was armed with an assault rifle.
You are listening to election coverage with Justice and Drew on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Drew, that is John Justice. Welcome back to our election night's results coverage. We didn't expect to be on this late, John.
It would feel wrong to go to bed at this point.
I just looked at the clock, and I was like, I didn't realize how late it was.
Yeah, we did not expect to be on this long.
This is far past our bedtime.
It really is.
Yeah. And it feels like that they're hedging... calling some of these races that should have been called right now.
I think that they're just trying to sell commercials.
I really do. I think this is all about ratings at this point in time.
Landslide.
This is quite honestly, this is metro areas that have come in and rural areas of states that have not. They're looking at what's happened nationwide and they don't want to call a state wrong.
Yeah. Right. Well, if you look at Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania looks to be 48-48 by the crawl that we're watching.
Yeah.
Look no further.
I've got 47.9 to 48.6 according to.
Oh no! It just updated. It's 48.3, 48.2, Hillary 0.1 above Trump. So Trump is closing the gap.
Look no further than Minnesota, you guys. It is 11 o'clock at night, and Minnesota has not been called.
That's amazing.
This has never happened in my lifetime.
Yeah, well, I mean, and look, we talked about it earlier. The margin of victory in Virginia really told a story.
Yeah.
Virginia was supposed to be a slam dunk for Hillary Clinton, and it wasn't. I mean, it took a while for them to call it, and it was turned out even at 90%, and she's still only up 2 points there. Still with us, Jeff Johnson is sticking around. Representative Nick Zerwas is here. Looking at on a state level, I know you guys down at our Minnesota desk have some St. Cloud news you want to bring up.
Well, yeah, just that, both St. Cloud seats are held by Republicans right now, and we're trending pretty decently, though the B side, which is currently held by Jim Knobloch, has pulled even at 50-50, though the A side is still looking good for Tama Tice. So we're going to keep our eye on 17B, and that's a tough one because that has St. Cloud State.
14B.
14B. That has St. Cloud State with it, and that is something that does not cut well for Republicans, so we're keeping our eye on that.
Yeah, and it's very possible, as I look at the same exact area, that the road to a Minnesota Republican Senate majority goes through that seat. That if everything resolves towards where they're currently trending, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pickups minus one loss. That's a net of 4 with 3 outstanding. The road to a majority goes through St. Cloud at this point.
Well, and on the B side, with 70% reporting, Zach Dorholt, who had the seat before Knobloch, appears to be winning by 8 votes.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Wow.
So that is a Senate district. Senate and the 2 House seats that, when we're all said and done, will have $2.1 million in outside spending poured into that district. That shows you just how crucial, like you just said, the crossroads for the majority of the state Senate goes through there. We have seen $2 million in outside spending go into that Senate district.
So, Nick Zerwas, if the Senate flips, first of all, I now have a Republican senator-elect for the first time in 10 years. Paul Anderson is my guy. Terry Bonoff is no longer. Praise the Lord. But if it changes, Nick, how does that, I mean, what happens in the House? How does that change your job?
Well, quite frankly, what we see is Mark Dayton, the governor, Governor Dayton, does not do well not getting his way. It's almost as if he grew up his entire life with no one ever saying no. It's very weird. And so the history is, when the governor has to deal with a Republican Senate and a Republican House, he couldn't accept compromise.
Right.
Yeah.
He couldn't accept working with Republicans. But quite frankly, with what we're up against, with the Minshew crisis, with the health care crisis impacting every corner of Minnesota, we need a strong Republican legislature to hold the ground, that we need a conservative option for Minnesota when it comes to health care.
Yeah, absolutely. What does this election as a whole mean for the future of not just Minshew, but the way things are trending on the national level, with Republicans holding Congress and Trump getting closer and closer to 270? What does this mean for Obamacare? Jeff Johnson.
Well, I'm not sure, because I voted for Donald Trump, but he's still a wild card in my book. And
yeah,
I don't know where he's going to go. My hope is that if we can keep the Senate and obviously keep the House, it looks like we can, they can hold his feet to the fire if he decides that, you know, it's necessary to moderate or modulate or whatever term you want to use. So I'm very hopeful, but we'll know in a few months, I think.
Nick?
I think Commissioner Johnson is right on point. Really, Donald Trump on this issue is a wild card. He's talked in the past about universal health care. You look at this, I think you can go district by district across the country and look at the increases in Obamacare insurance rates and look at flips of voter turnout. So, highly unpopular federal position. I have to believe that there is substantial change afoot. I can't imagine a repeal of the ACA that comes out of the House and Senate that a President Trump would in turn veto. That would be unimaginable.
I agree. I agree.
651-989-5855. You're listening to Justice and Drew. Sam is here. Nick Zerwas is here. I want to make a quick mention of the states that we're still keeping an eye on. Michigan, Trump is still leading by one, as he is also in New Hampshire. The other one, which has slowly been shifting, has been Pennsylvania. Yeah. 84% reporting in, and currently Trump has gained the lead.
Trump took the lead.
Smart lead.
Yeah. Very, very small, but he has taken the lead.
Hillary had a really, really solid lead earlier, though.
For a long time.
She was leading in Pennsylvania for a long time. Now, let's stop and think about this. I know a lot of people are getting excited with Trump with 255 electoral votes, Clinton with 209. However, when you look at Pennsylvania and Michigan, that's 36 electoral votes between those two states. Granted, Trump is ahead in both of those states right now. But let's not get too excited. Those 36 electoral votes happen to go to Clinton for some reason. She's now sitting on, 245 to Trump's 255.
Wow.
It's a neck-and-neck race at that point with Arizona and their 11 electoral votes to go. Minnesota, those 10 electoral votes likely going to Clinton. She's still got a pretty strong lead with 67% in. Nevada has 6 electoral votes. So there's Alaska floating around out there. New Hampshire hasn't been called yet. You've got 4 electoral votes in Maine that have yet to be distributed. So Pennsylvania and Michigan are really the key to either this thing going late and maybe not even having a winner tonight or locking this up here shortly.
But think about Pennsylvania and Michigan. As of 2 days ago, people were making fun of Donald Trump for even going there.
Yeah, exactly.
Had no chance whatsoever. Yeah. So that's pretty encouraging.
Exactly. And yet, where did Hillary have her last push? She was in Detroit, she was in Philadelphia, and then she went to North Carolina.
They were chasing Donald Trump around the country.
Yeah.
Because he was going to these places that they did not expect that they would have to go and fight for, and they ended up having to follow him to those states to try to fight to keep him, and it looks like at the moment they're losing them.
Yeah, you're right. That's a great point. Her last 3 big rallies, Ohio with LeBron James. I mean, Trump had the MyPillow guy, and she had LeBron James.
Right. To be fair, that pillow is so comfy.
Those pillows are amazing.
Hey, John and Andrew, can I ask Jeff a question?
Yeah.
Hey, Jeff, it's Brian McDaniel.
Hey, Brian.
So my question is, okay, let's assume that the Trump train keeps rolling and that he does ultimately win. Does Trump and his people, do they reach out to the Never Trumpers, or do the Never Trumpers have to reach out to Donald Trump and his people? How do you see that transition going?
Oh, God, that's a great question.
You know, honestly, I'll start. It's a two-way, it has to be a two-way street. If the Trump crowd, if the Trump supporters take a smug and exclusive tone towards it, saying, we got no room for you, you abandoned us, we don't want you, guess what, guys? All you're doing is shrinking the party at that point. All you're doing is taking people who want to be a part of the party. They really do.
Yep.
They really want to be a part of this party. They just couldn't bring themselves to support this one guy, right? You're going to make this guy your litmus test for whether or not you're a conservative or whether or not you're a Republican? That's ridiculous. If the Trump supporters take that tone, that will be problematic. If the Never Trumpers take a similar tone, whereas this party isn't what I thought it was, I can't be a part of it anymore, if that's our nominee and enough people support him, I'm out, well, then I don't know where you're going to go.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I'm not terribly worried about that. I think if you
either.
Give it some time,
winning,
you know, there's going to be some smugness in the week or two afterwards, and there's going to be some anger. But 2 months from now, 3 months from now, I feel pretty good.
Well, and as we found out in some of the data from earlier today, I mean, 90% of the GOP base came out to vote for Trump.
They stuck with him.
So the Never Trump effect. I was a very loud group, and you know, arguably a powerful loud group, but it wasn't a big group, you know. And so when you look at the number of potential new GOP voters, or just those that got re-engaged, I mean, if the numbers bear out and we end up with that historic 140+ million turnout they've been talking about.
Wow.
That's what that's what they were predicting. We haven't seen that in, you know, in decades.
Yep. Got a couple people that have been holding on for a little while. You might want to have the dump button ready because I doubt he's sober, but let's go to Engie on line one.
Hey, Engie. What's up, Engie? How are you going?
Engie, you there?
Really? Really?
You know I love you.
First of all, I might be a point 3 or 4.
You should probably stop.
But you know what? First of all, I just want to say that I've been driving around taking
I hope you're not driving right now, man. Whoa, dude. What?
He's talking about earlier.
Okay.
Go ahead, Angie.
I'm sorry. Are we on the air?
You are on the air.
Okay. Because while you guys have been partying, I've been taking down lawn signs for Chad Anderson, who I understand is not, unlike the Vikings, undefeated, 2-0, cleaning up the neighborhood. I'm not at the party. I'm not partying. I'm working right now. So I don't want to hear you guys complain about how late it is. All right?
Okay.
I don't think we did.
Sorry, Dad.
Yeah, really.
And Chad Anderson lost.
Couple of quick things. I've gone to every election night party since 2000, and obviously I'm not there tonight. I think I might be bad luck, Eddie, you know? So I'm taking full credit for this fantastic evening. God, what else was I going to say? Oh, shoot. Bad time to have a brain fart.
Okay.
Anyway,
let's go ahead for that to happen.
Have a great...
Steve in St. Paul, go ahead.
Guys, hey, guys, how's it going?
Much better.
Yeah, much better now that we're talking to you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm actually sober, so we'll keep that tip. And I have one thing to say. Jeff, are you over there?
I am.
Okay, go Cobbers.
Hey, same to you. Thanks.
Yeah, no kidding. How do you think our future President Trump is going to get along with the mad Russian Vladimir Putin?
Hopefully better than the Obama administration has. Look, you know, the world is a better place when the United States and Russia have similar goals and can figure out ways to work together. I mean, you know, we don't have to have as adversarial relationship. Now that we don't compromise our values. You know, you don't compromise our values to work with Russia or to align with them in anything. But, you know, there's ways to be diplomatic and non-adversarial. And I think the Obama administration has been absolutely terrible when it comes. That was the one big thing he was going to do, right? He was going to restore America's reputation around the world and get world leaders liking and respecting us again. Which ones exactly? I'd like him to point out which ones he's been successful with that.
Well, and I think it needs to be mentioned too that while this election has been going on, there's been, you know, further Russian movement, and you know, as it relates to outside Aleppo and the forces building up over there, that issue has been gaining steam, and Putin has been certainly capitalizing on the fact that all the attention has been placed upon this election. And if Trump does win, he's not going to be in office in a while, for a while at least. But that issue is continuing to grow, and hopefully Trump will, you know, surround himself with the right individuals to begin making the right decisions as it relates to foreign policy, because we don't have a foreign policy right now. It is absolutely in shambles. And so, you know, these issues are there. They haven't been talked about, and Putin's been making some very, very big moves in that region because we have been going through an election cycle. And so, again, those are things that we're going to immediately have to start discussing. And if he does win, he's going to have to, even before he gets into office, begin figuring out a strategy on how he deals with our foreign policy and as it relates to Putin.
Yeah, and I have, assuming that he wins, I have faith that he will surround himself with decent people and hopefully listen to them. But he may be a different president than he was a candidate, which I think is a promising.
I think so. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind.
Well, we certainly saw it at the end. We certainly saw it at the end.
But that's not unique of any candidate.
No.
Right.
No.
They go,
Obama was a different president than he was a candidate.
Oh, you don't say.
You know, I mean, yeah. So, yeah, I think, and look, and one thing I've always sort of said about this presidential system is, you know, the qualities that make you a good candidate aren't always the same qualities that make you a good executive, and that makes it tough sometimes for good people to advance in electoral politics, because good candidates do well, and then they get there and they don't know what the hell to do. They're not leaders. You know, they're not able to take charge and be decisive. They're good at getting a lot of people to like them,
yeah,
which is not necessarily a quality that you see in a lot of great leaders. Yeah. A lot of great leaders, a lot of people don't like them. Yeah. A lot of people don't like Trump. Maybe he'll be a great leader. I don't know.
Hey, I want to give a quick update on what's been going on in Pennsylvania. The trend is beginning to move closer towards Trump.
What I'm looking at
according to AP is AP was looking at about 10,000 vote difference, ticked up to 11,000. Now the AP is reporting that Pennsylvania is now a 40,000 vote lead for Trump with 94% in so far. It's been growing over the course of the past half hour or so.
Wow!
Right, so he's slowly cutting into that. And again, we're looking at Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, and Michigan. And Michigan and New Hampshire have been sitting at 47 and 48 for the longest time.
John, if he takes Pennsylvania, is that ball game?
I think any of those three. I think for her to win this, she's got to get everything that's left.
Wow. Wow.
We were told earlier in the evening that it was Nevada, Wisconsin,
yes,
and Michigan, but she lost Wisconsin. And so, again, looking at the map, there is a very, very narrow margin, but she's got to get everything.
What's so interesting is today started with a litany of states that Trump had to run the table on, and we're ending with a list of states that she now has to carry.
Literally run the table.
Huh.
I mean, she can't miss. She cannot miss. She has to get Pennsylvania. She has to get Michigan. She is behind in Michigan with 75% in, but it's not terribly far behind. But I don't, if she doesn't get both of those states, I don't think she's got a path. Mike, Brian, you guys have a CD8 update for us?
Yeah, we have a CD8 update, and call it, you know, the ticket splitter chronicles, with just under 50% of precincts reporting in the 8th. Trump is winning the 8th, 51.37 to 40.56, so pretty handily.
However,
Rick Nolan is up 52-47, and Rick Nolan is outperforming Trump at this point. Go figure,
what,
huh?
How weird!
It's bananas, dude.
Brian, do we know yet? Can we dissect into that? Are we coming out of Duluth there?
Well, yeah,
Do we know specifically? Are we talking St. Louis?
What's left?
County?
Yeah, Mike did the deeper dive, and a lot of the Duluth precincts are in, but it's a pretty big number that's in so far.
Son of a gun.
Now, but like I said, it's under 50% reporting, so you know, a lot can move there. But my question would be there: did Stuart Mills lose it with his steel comments in the last couple weeks? That is something that turned a lot of the pro-union support that he had, that made them kind of question his commitment to the 8th. So it'll be interesting to see if he catches up. And it'll be interesting to see if that is what made people go Trump and then Nolan.
Well, and that would be consistent with Trump winning and Nolan winning if there was that perception that Stuart wasn't right. Yep.
And that was a brutal campaign ad against Stuart Mills. And the unfortunate thing is those comments and that ad was so grossly distorted and out of context. Oh, man.
Yep.
That's rough. That's really...
And everybody keep your eye on the first. We haven't done the deep dive yet, but it's 50-50. And that is something that I think was probably chalked up for a blowout for Tim Walz.
That's an Obamacare district. And that part of the state of Minnesota, that is an Obamacare Minshew election, where you have farmers faced with 67% increases and no choice.
Yeah.
No choice for health insurance. And yeah, Rick Nolan and Tim Wells tell me, and defending it down there. Just brutal and Hagedorn really stepped up to talk about how Walz and Obama hurt rural Minnesota. What is an Obamacare MinSure turnout down there?
Breaking news right now in Nevada.
Right.
Was just called for Hillary Clinton.
Not a huge surprise there.
Not at all.
It was,
not at all.
It was one that she had.
I think a lot of people.
It was one she had to pick up. And again, that's just we're looking at. We're looking at the three states of Michigan, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania. Arizona will be interesting because that one was going back and forth quite a bit.
Yeah.
I think based off of what we've seen tonight, I'm fairly confident to say it's going to go Trump's way.
He's got a 4-point lead with just shy of 70%.
Which is going to close the margin even more and make it even more difficult. Again, Hillary's got to run
still
the table
get to
on,
that 270,
final,
though.
On those final.
He's 15 away from 270.
Well, and let me ask this of maybe Nick and Jeff, if he's still there. What's happening tonight has a lot of ramifications for 2018 for governor. If Tim Walz loses, if Donald Trump wins, if Tom Bach loses the majority, Aaron Murphy and Paul Thiessen in the House, these are people that if they're failing in 2016, you know, how can they, you know, kind of claim the mantle from Tina Smith in 2018? And if Trump wins, does that make Amy Klobuchar look at 2020, not governor for 2018?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it scrambles everything on both sides, actually. It certainly scrambles things on the DFL side if you have someone like Walz losing and Klobuchar making a different decision about 18 versus 20. It could also scramble the Republican side, especially if there is a Senate Republican majority, because you'll have some new leadership over there of people who might have run now would rather be chairman or Senate minority or Senate majority leader. So yeah, I think there's a big effect on 2018.
Absolutely.
I want to talk real quick before we go to break about we touched on this earlier, how Clinton is kind of responsible for her own undoing in a lot of ways. You look at the email scandal, you look at all the things that are her acting directly. But this was Donald Trump was the opponent she wanted.
I just
pulled up an old WikiLeaks leak where they talk about Pied Piper candidates, and they're talking about their goals and strategies to water down and dilute the Republican field in the primaries, and they say there are two ways to approach a strategy. The first is to use the field as a whole to inflict damage on itself, similar to what happened to Mitt Romney in 2012. The variety of candidates is a positive here, and many of the lesser-known can serve as a cudgel to move the more established candidates further to the right. In this scenario, we don't want to marginalize the more extreme candidates, but make them more Pied Piper candidates, who actually represent the mainstream of the Republican Party. Pied Piper candidates include Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, Ben Carson. We need to be elevating the Pied Piper candidates so that they are the leaders of the pack and tell the press to take them seriously. Tell the press to take them seriously. What did the press do? They took Donald Trump very seriously. They were led along by the nose.
Until he became the candidate.
He was the nominee. He won the nomination, and they turned on him. They turned on him on a dime because they were led by the nose by Hillary Clinton and by the DNC, and we know this because of these WikiLeaks leaks. This was the opponent she wanted. I wonder how she's feeling about that right now.
Yeah, well, and I'll tell you what, I have been wrong about everything for the last year and a half in this race.
Wrong about everything. Twin Cities News Network.
Over and over. And as of yesterday, I was still saying, you know, if Rubio had been the candidate, we'd be winning this thing by 10 points. And I still believe that.
I believe that as
but
well.
I think Trump brought out people who would not have voted in this race, and that
that's
made,
they,
made
that's
both very
been
well
saying
for the party.
This whole time. Yep. That's what they've been saying. Anybody that...
651-989-5855. I think we're going to have Arizona pretty soon. He picks up 11 electoral college votes with that. He's sitting at 254 right now. So, again, it closes even further.
But it's so close.
Yeah,
it's so far away.
Right there. We'll continue our live broadcast here from the Minnesota GOP Victory Party at the Mall of America here at the Radisson Blue. I'm John Justice. That's Drew and Sam. Manning, the Minnesota desk back at the TCNT studios. It's Mike and Brian. We're so glad that you're with us tonight as we continue to cover live this historic election on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Fair and balanced. Your Fox News update is on now.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Jack Callahan. Fox News now projects Hillary Clinton will win the swing state of Nevada. But Donald Trump has won several key swing states in what appears to be shaping up as a march to the White House. Fox News projecting Trump the winner in Georgia, Iowa, and in Wisconsin. Supporters at Trump's election night headquarters in New York City reacting earlier as Ohio, Florida, North Carolina were all added to the Trump column. That gives Trump 254 electoral votes, just 16 shy of the 270 needed to win. Only seven states remain to be called. The Republican Party will retain control of the House of Representatives. Control of the Senate still uncertain, but the Louisiana Senate race will go to a runoff election on December 10th. Recapping, Hillary Clinton wins Nevada, but Donald Trump has won several key swing states and is now 16 electoral votes shy from winning the 45th presidency. This is a Fox News alert.
You are listening to election coverage with Justice and Drew on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Talk AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Justice and Drew going later than we ever intended to.
Yeah.
At the election results party here at the Radisson Blue at the
History
Mall of America.
Is exhausting, we'll be, you guys.
We'll be live at 6 a.m. tomorrow
Suckers.
Morning.
But yeah, right? 6.5 short hours from now, we will be live.
Well, yeah. And the issue is we're really, really close.
It's just so close, and to stop now, I feel like...
Don't rob Minnesota of that.
Well, I feel like we'd go... I don't even know who's still in.
No,
but
look,
we'd go off, and all of a sudden it'd be like...
We're looking at Arizona to get called, and hopefully that will happen soon. That'll bring Trump within 265, and then it's five votes. The focus continues to be on Pennsylvania and Michigan, and we're getting very, very close to this thing being locked up. Now, you were saying, Drew, a moment ago that... Depending on the way that Pennsylvania shakes out, because it's so close, that even if that goes into sort of a fight, you know, into a court fight,
right?
It won't matter depending on
yeah, I mean, Trump
on what
can
else
get,
he picks
Trump
up.
Can get past 270 without Pennsylvania. So Pennsylvania
that was never in the cards.
I was just going to say, Nick, yeah,
right.
Just like everybody called it a couple days ago, you know, we'll be up late waiting on Pennsylvania and New Hampshire and Michigan.
No. A landslide.
Never.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was never one of the paths that we discussed, was it? Yeah. But, he can get to 270 now without Pennsylvania, so even if it's
going to
a recount.
Is when they show it on the TV, the people at Trump Tower are dancing, and the people at the Clinton
people
party
are, leaving the,
are crying.
People are leaving the Clinton HQ in tears.
It's beautiful. I told John, I hope that Hillary has like Katy Perry lined up. I hope she's got like all these famous singers just ready to rock. And they're
is
all
is it possible
there
to have a sad fireworks show?
I was just going to say, do you guys think that Donald
John
Trump
Friesel.
Could Trump get those fireworks at discount? Well,
Hillary. I heard you got
buy
the
fireworks.
Fireworks
off you.
Yeah, I heard you got the fireworks laying around.
Look, we all know you're a terrible negotiator. I'll give you 11 American dollars, which are about to be worth a lot more because we're going to start winning again.
America!
We're joined by Representative Matt Dean, who's been kind enough to stop by. I had you on the phone a little bit earlier. Now you're here stopping by. Your thoughts on everything that's transpired tonight so far?
Things are just getting better and better. I just came over to see if Zerwas won. I know there was some precincts in Otsego that were out. Did he win? Can we call that one yet? Or is Zerwas over the top?
We're contesting the results.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
It was rigged.
I've demanded a recap, personally. Yeah.
No, we pulled that one off. Matt, you have spent the summer and fall knee-deep in legislative races, going across the state, working with incumbents, trying to help them hold, and new candidates, trying to help them pick up. When you look at these results coming statewide, and you look at how this is shaping up for a down-to-the-wire Senate race for the majority, and a House That looks like it very well will hold. What surprises you? What doesn't surprise you? What do you see from what you heard in the district from what we're seeing tonight?
Well, just traveling around the state over the last several months, the preconception was that Donald Trump would do great in the outstate areas. And there's like this cartoon bubble that people have of like ramshackle homes and people with banjos and, you know, stars and bars flags. And, you know, they're the Trump people. And then the elites in the suburbs were going to hate Trump. And that's not my experience at being a suburban member, seeing the people that I represent. Also, people in greater Minnesota, it's a very complex thing, but this is people all across the state who said, we've had enough. We can't afford this. This health insurance stuff is crazy. Obamacare doesn't work. This is not working for me. The math isn't working for me. And Trump tapped into that anxiety and that perception that people have that things aren't going really well for me. And that wasn't like an outstate thing or a wealthy thing versus a not wealthy or educated versus not educated. All those things are getting blown away. And you see in my districts, in Delwood and North Oaks and in Otsego and in greater Minnesota, it really doesn't matter where you go. You see that big, strong surge all across the state. Yeah. We had really good candidates who picked up, I think, on that and really utilized it well. Both in the Senate and in the House.
We're still waiting on Michigan to come in with 79% of the vote coming
wow.
in. Trump's got a pretty solid lead right now.
Wow.
Michigan could wrap this up.
Well, we're also waiting on the state of Minnesota.
Well,
they still haven't
that's
called
amazing.
That, and it's
that's
actually
a really good
been
point.
Closing.
Trump is only, what, 4 points?
No, and I've been
down.
Keeping an eye on this. It's actually, and Mike and Brian, you guys have probably been looking at it as well, but I know it's still kind of a long shot. We got 72% reporting in, but I've been watching this.
It's inching closer and closer.
Yeah, it's beginning to move the other way now.
And the fact that it's so close in Minnesota, that's the amazing
Trump
thing.
Is down by about... A little less than 20,000 votes. Maybe, let's see, math. Math, not my
wow.
forte. I'm sorry. It's a little more than that. But it's more like 100,000. Okay, I'm really bad at math.
Okay.
Yeah. It, well, look, I'm in politics. Okay.
Tell me how many zeros you see.
Hey, look, I'm looking at a big picture of Hillary Clinton. There's one zero.
Ouch.
You're making me feel not as great about this whole
thing. Well, look, I'm just trying to get John Justice a delicious sandwich or whatever was on the line for hashtag landslide.
Landslide.
As of right now, too, going back to Pennsylvania, that lead continues to grow for Trump. He's now sitting on a 60,000 vote advantage with 95.6 reporting in. Now, again, that's been trending that way now for about the past hour. It was down about 10,000 votes, and it's been moving up as we get closer and closer to midnight our time.
It's a conjecture, but I fully believe that is urban metro areas reporting first in greater Pennsylvania or rural areas reporting later.
Well, and this is what we were told early in the exit polling, was that the election was going to be decided by night voters. Those who went after work to go vote, and it doesn't normally play out that way. The last time that played out that way was Reagan.
Yeah.
And similar with the historic turnout. So again, it's razor thin, but looking at the reason why, it's exactly what you mentioned, Nick. It's the fact that you're talking about those late voters, more than likely GOP, you know, had to work, couldn't go out in the morning to vote, wait until they got off. And thankfully, so far, it looks like they waited in those long lines. And, you know.
What are we seeing here?
Well,
they're just kind of running over the states. I want to shift gears real quick here before we take a break. And while we got Representative Matt Dean and Representative Nick Zerwas here, that ballot question, that constitutional amendment, taking the decision to raise legislative pay out of legislators' hands and putting it into a citizens' board, passed overwhelmingly. Overwhelmingly. It's like 76% yes right now.
It demonstrates the ability of Democrats to confuse an issue to pull a fast one.
Yeah,
in the benefit of themselves.
That amendment passed, I believe, solely based on how it was worded.
Well, you were tricked. You were tricked because if you read it, it looks like hey, these legislators are going to try to raise their pay. Yeah. We better step in and do something about it. The people who did that wrote that specifically to trick you into voting yes. Now we're going to get automatic pay increases from some board, and they knew that all the way along.
And to be clear, that amendment to put that on the ballot, that passed with 100% DFL votes.
Yeah.
Not a single Republican voted for it.
Yeah.
In the House.
It's cowardly.
Republican voted for that in the Senate.
It's cowardly to try to take away the accountability giving a raise to legislators. They don't want to pay the political price that may or may not come with voting yourselves a pay raise. I think if you go to your constituents and you make a compelling case, you know, I think there's something to be said for that. They didn't want to be bothered to do that.
Yeah.
They want to put it on some unaccountable, unelected board. Nobody's going to know who's on this stupid board. And this is actually is a pretty big power shift over the governor, right? How many members of the board does the governor get to appoint?
It's 50-50.
Yeah.
The governor appoints, I think, six. Yeah. And the chief justice of the state Supreme Court, which, figure out why that makes sense, appoints six.
So everybody in the state voted for a pay increase for legislators.
Yeah. So congratulations.
Sorry to say.
Not only on your reelection, but congratulations on your upcoming raise.
Well, you know, I think that most people would prefer we just vote for it and then
most people would prefer we just do our freaking job.
Well, and while we're congratulating Matt Dean, I want to congratulate Matt Dean on the publishing of his new erotic thriller, Night Voters. As narrated by Nick Zerwa.
Just stop.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. We are Justice and Drew. Sam is with us. We've got Brian and Mike back at the Minnesota desk at the TCNT studios. More coverage as we await these final states to roll in to wrap this thing up tonight. Coming up on your election headquarters, now more than ever, you need Justice and Drew. You need Twin Cities News Talk, and we're back in just a minute.
You are listening to election coverage with Justice and Drew on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Coming up on midnight, it is 11 minutes till midnight here with Justice and Drew. We will be back live at 6 a.m. I believe our portion of this is going to end around midnight. I think we're going to have to call it a night here. We are hoping to get some results here shortly out of Pennsylvania and or Michigan that will put a bow on this thing.
It would be nice if they would call it in the next, let's see, 11 minutes.
Well, let's look at the lay of the land here for just a moment, okay? At the moment, you know, we're looking at a Michigan or a Pennsylvania, which is pretty much going to lock this thing up. If he picks up Arizona, which it looks like Trump is going to, at 69% reporting in, he's up by about 4. I don't see that going any other way than Trump at this point. So when you go and look at Michigan and you look at Pennsylvania, right now in Pennsylvania, 96.7% reporting in, and he's up by 67,000. That's grown from about 10,000 about an hour ago.
Right.
So he's been increasing his lead in Pennsylvania. When you look at Michigan, he's up by, with 80% in, he's up by a full point there as well. So again, for Hillary Clinton to win this with Michigan, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, and Arizona in play, with Trump sitting at 254, really any one of these gets really, really close to locking it up. Pennsylvania gets called or Michigan gets called, and I think it's over for the Clinton campaign. Mike and Brian, do you guys agree?
Yeah, and I was just sitting here lamenting the political salience of Jon Bon Jovi, which apparently is not what it once was, because if he can't propel her to victory in Pennsylvania, then really where are we as a country?
Really demonstrates the downfall of the political cachet of Katy Perry.
Yeah, and I was very disappointed because I really respected Jon Bon Jovi's take on foreign trade.
I feel like I could have performed, prepared something if you would have let me know you were going to do this.
We're halfway there.
I feel like I could have come strong with some good stuff.
Hillary's living on a prayer.
She is living on a prayer. No, on
there's
state.
There's a reason we sprung this on you.
Yeah, on the state stuff, I'm starting to see a little bit of back and forth where up in 4B, Paul Marquardt's seat, Ben Grimsley was looking really good for a while, and that's kind of flipped a little bit back to Paul Marquardt. In St. Cloud, Tama Tice in 14A is looking real strong. Jim Knobloch has pulled back ahead. But the bad St. Cloud precincts are still waiting for him.
Yeah.
But he's up a little bit. And right now, Dave Baker in 17B looking great.
And ditto in the Senate. It's really coming down to St. Cloud. Jerry Relf is the Republican candidate, is up by a very minimal amount, but the same as Brian just reported, the kind of the bad precincts are still out, so I think it's going to be very close, but not quite a majority for the
Minnesota. We have another one to call, too, House District 21A, which is the seat that was vacated by Tim Kelly, has gone to the Republican.
Hey!
Yep, so...
She is really...
She's great. So Barb Haley, quite handily, defeated Lisa Bailey. Yes, that does rhyme. 55-45.
She was a very impressive candidate across the board.
You know,
really impressive.
When you... Boy, it has been just one of those days where we, you know, you just don't know, obviously, how things are going to shake out.
And no kidding.
From the polling aspect of it, it's been close, but not close in the places where we thought it was going to be, you know, close. And what I find, you know, so interesting right now at sort of at the end of this is the fact that we're waiting. And again, Mike and Brian, you guys alluded to this. We're waiting on states that we weren't expecting to having to wait on.
Yeah, yep. And Nate Silver.
Well, we weren't expecting them to be crucial to Hillary Clinton's chances of winning the presidency.
Yeah. Well, that's the
key. We were expecting them to be, gosh, if Trump could somehow figure out a way to win those states, then he might have a chance.
Yeah. I was not saying that.
No, you weren't.
Nate Silver just posted a graphic, which I'll retweet and hashtag TCNT for people to see, but it shows the sort of... The where the polls were off in all these states, and it is a whole bunch of red. I mean, as the aforementioned, I'm not very good at math, but this appears to be they're off by about 3 or 4 points in every state. They were off by 7.6% in Wisconsin, 2.6% in Virginia, 5.2% in Minnesota, 4.3% in Maine, 4.5% in North Carolina, 6.1% in Ohio. I mean, this is a crisis for polling industry.
Do not believe the poll.
Well, there's a few things that are going to be taken away from this. And again, you know, he hasn't won yet, but let's assume things are going to go down this path.
I think Pennsylvania is going to be. I think that's the one that's going to knock him over. That one looks like it's continuing with 97% in. It's 47.9 to 48.5, and it continues to trend his way. I think that's the one that's going to lock us up.
I'm concerned about that one going to a recount. It's just so close.
But then you have the other states to make up.
Michigan. I think Michigan is the one that's going to push him over the top. But anyway, let's say that he does go forward. What I like about this is the message it sends to Democratic operatives, in that the things they think matter, the things that they think we care about, the things they think move the needle in elections, like Trump hasn't released his tax returns. Oh my gosh, how could anybody ever vote for somebody who didn't release his tax returns?
Clearly nobody cares.
Right, that doesn't move the needle, you know, and I'm really glad, and I hope, because somebody just tweeted, some liberal blogger just tweeted, well, at least now we know that Democratic candidates don't ever have to release their tax returns or tell the truth about anything. Well, you already had the second part of that down. We don't care about the tax returns all that much.
Going back to Pennsylvania again, he's now up 76,000 in Pennsylvania. Okay. The trend continues to go his way with 97%, if not more at this point, reporting in. I mean, we are, when you look at Arizona, too, I want to bring that one back up. Still up by like four. We are just so close.
Well, if you look at New Hampshire, the last graphic that got put up appears as though that he is up less than 1,000.
Wow. Holy moly. Let's go to line one. Eric calling in from Chicago. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Eric.
You know, I'm amazed they haven't called Arizona yet, because that's been sitting at 4 points basically since the 30% reporting mark. But Pennsylvania, Drew, this is not going to a recount. It's 76,000 votes different. When you're talking about New Hampshire, where it's been like as close to 200 votes over the last half hour, that's a recount. I don't see Pennsylvania going for a recount. Pat Toomey's going to win this. We're going to hold the Senate.
Maybe 76,000.
I think Eric's right, though.
It may be 76,000 votes, but it's less than one percentage point.
No, it's 1.5%.
It's 1.5.
1.5?
Yeah.
No, it's... That's
47.8.
Okay, I'm looking at Real Clear. Then the Real Clear hasn't quite updated
yet. It's holding.
No, I'm looking on the Secretary of State's website.
Okay.
I'm
looking at RCP.
So, we're getting in the room. I've seen all of the senior staff of the Minnesota House.
Yeah.
That's walked in. There's smiles on everyone's face. I think we're moments away from what will be the Speaker of the House, Kirk Dowd, announcing unequivocally that we've held the majority in the House.
What does that mean for Kurt Dowd? I mean, is that how big of a feather in Kurt Dowd's cap is that?
Certainly it's a huge feat. Certainly it sets him up. Quite frankly, as disgusting as this is for everyone that wants to be done with politics, tomorrow we start talking about who runs for governor.
It all begins again.
Right.
It all begins again.
Guys, while we're all here and while it's fresh in everybody's mind, can we all come to agreement that we're not going to pay attention to the next presidential race? Until at least like May
Friday
of 2020, right? May of 2020 is the first time. While this is all, this last 18 months is fresh in our mind.
I'm going to call it and say that if Trump is elected, it's like the next day that is announced, that's going to be one of the headlines. It's going to be like, who's running for the Dems
in 2020?
Quite honestly, but that's where this is going. Kirked out, delivered us a majority in the House, and we're gonna. Yeah. Here he is, right.
All
here.
Right, let's take care. We'll carry this Kirked out speech here.
What a great night in Minnesota! Let's get all of our House members up here. I've got some really good news for you. 2 years ago, we put an end to complete Democrat control of state government. And at that time, we said we needed to make it sustainable. And to do that, we needed to win tonight. We currently have 73 seats in the Minnesota House. And I think when tonight is over, we're actually going to pick up more seats than we currently have. And I'm particularly excited to announce that when you run into Ron Earhart on the street, you can call him former Representative Ron Earhart. Yeah! And when you run into Barb Yarusso on the street, you can call her former Representative Barb Yarusso. Because we have Representative-elect Dario Anselmo going to be joining our team. And Representative-elect Randy Jessup joining our team. Yeah! We've got Representative-elect Barb Haley joining our team. Representative-elect Nolan West joining our team. And I'm proud to say that we've re-elected tonight Representatives Jim Knobloch, Tama Tice, and Brian Daniels. And we have a lot more seats that we're still waiting to see results on. And I want to tell you, we couldn't have done it without all of your help. We have what I think is the best team in Minnesota politics working on our behalf. So I want to give a round of applause to all of our staff and all of our volunteers that helped make this happen. Give them a round of applause. Two years ago, they said that we were a rural caucus. I'm proud to say that tonight we showed them that not only will we win and defend in the rural areas, but we're going to win in the suburbs as well. And this is a historic moment for the Minnesota House. This is the first time in 12 years that we have successfully defended a Republican majority in the Minnesota House. And when we're done counting seats tonight, this will be the largest House majority in modern history after a presidential election. Minnesotans spoke very clearly tonight that they wanted to make sure that there was a check and balance on Governor Dayton for his final 2 years in office. Together, we will put forward an agenda that will grow Minnesota's economy, create jobs, and we will get rid of Minsher and get rid of Obamacare in the state of Minnesota. Please give a hand to the Republican House majority for the next 2 years. Thank you so much for all your support.
That was Speaker Kurt Dowd talking to the GOP Victory Party here at the Radisson Blue Mall of America. I am Drew. That is John Justice. Let's take a quick break, and we will come back, and we'll jump right back into this presidential race. We'll give you a quick update of where everything's at.